Wings of the Seraphim by Russell Simmons. Introduction: The Man Who Became a Living Gospel. A Saint for All Time. Some lives flicker like brief candles, while others blaze across history like an unquenchable fire. Saint Francis of Assisi was one such fire, a luminous soul whose radiant love for God, humanity, and all creation continues to burn centuries after his passing. More than a historical figure, he is a presence, a force, a testament to what is possible when one surrenders completely to the divine. His legacy endures not merely in stories, relics, or the Franciscan order, but in the countless hearts he has touched, the movements he has inspired, and the profound spiritual revolution he sparked. One that remains as vital today as it was in the 13th century. To speak of Saint Francis is to speak of the gospel itself, not as a doctrine bound in ink and parchment, but as a living, breathing reality. He was not a theologian lost in abstractions, nor a scholar confined to academic halls. He lived the words of Christ with such breathtaking simplicity and power that even those who opposed him were often left in awe. He was a mystic whose love for God was so consuming that he bore the wounds of Christ upon his very body. He was a poet who sang to the sun and the moon as if they were his siblings, and he was a peacemaker who walked unarmed into the heart of a war to speak of love. He saw the divine not only in the grandeur of the heavens, but in the eyes of a leper, in the flutter of a bird's wings, in the very soil beneath his feet. A life that transcends the ages. Why does Saint Francis still inspire millions today? Why do his words and deeds resonate so deeply in the modern world, where materialism, division, and suffering are so prevalent? It is because his message is universal. His call to radical love, humility, and simplicity is not bound by time, culture, or religious affiliation. It speaks to the deepest longing of the human soul, the longing for peace, for meaning, for an existence aligned with something greater than oneself. At a time when the church was entangled in power struggles and corruption, Francis emerged as a beacon of purity, reminding the world that true faith is found not in wealth or status, but in poverty of spirit and absolute trust in God. He stood before popes and princes with the same humility with which he knelt before beggars. He challenged the comforts of his time, not with anger or rebellion, but with love so profound it disarmed even the hardest of hearts. His was not a call to asceticism for its own sake, but to joyful renunciation, a liberation from the chains of materialism in order to embrace the fullness of divine grace. The transformative power of radical love. If there is one thread that runs through the entire life of Saint Francis, it is love, radical, all-consuming, uncompromising love. This was not a passive affection, but a force that moved him to action, compelling him to kiss the wounds of lepers, to relinquish his inheritance, to live in the wild with the birds and the beasts, to give his last piece of bread to someone in need. His love was reckless in the most divine sense. It knew no limits, no conditions. He did not merely preach it, he became it. For Francis, simplicity was not deprivation, but freedom. In stripping himself of material wealth, he found a richness beyond measure. In surrendering personal ambition, he gained a kingdom greater than any earthly empire. He lived with such radical faith in divine providence that he owned nothing, yet lacked nothing. But love for him was not just an inward devotion. It was a bridge between worlds, between people of different faiths, between creatures of all kinds. He walked unarmed into the camp of the Muslim Sultan, not to convert by force, but to understand, to share, to reveal a faith that transcended violence. He saw no separation between humanity and nature, calling the elements, the animals, even death itself his kin. His was a love that embraced all of existence as sacred. Why this book matters now more than ever. We live in a world increasingly fragmented by conflict, greed, and spiritual emptiness. The hunger for wealth and power has reached staggering heights, while the simple joy of being, of communion with God and nature, seems lost to many. In such a time, the life of Saint Francis stands as a defiant, luminous alternative, a reminder that there is another way, a higher path, a different kingdom than the one the world so often pursues. To encounter Saint Francis is to be confronted with a choice. Do we continue down the path of self-interest, or do we dare to embrace the selfless love that leads to true fulfillment? This book seeks to illuminate that choice by exploring his life in depth, not as a distant saint shrouded in legend, but as a living, breathing soul who struggled, who suffered, who transcended, and who ultimately discovered a joy so boundless that even death itself could not contain him. A journey through this book. In the pages ahead, you will walk alongside Francis from his privileged youth to his dramatic renunciation of wealth, from his encounter with Christ in the leper to his founding of a movement that would change the world. You will witness his miracles, his ecstasies, his moments of doubt and suffering, and the awe-inspiring moment when he received the stigmata, the wounds of Christ. You will see him preach to the birds, confront a wolf, and negotiate peace with a sultan. And finally, you will be with him as he surrenders his soul back to the God he loved so fiercely, leaving behind a legacy that would echo through the centuries. This book is more than a biography. It is an invitation to step beyond the ordinary, to question the assumptions of modern life, and to rediscover the power of humility, compassion, and divine love. It is a journey into the heart of a saint who lived as if heaven had already begun on earth, and in doing so, brought a piece of heaven down to us. As you turn the pages, may you feel the fire of Francis's passion. May you be stirred by the beauty of his vision. And may you too hear the whisper of that divine voice calling you, just as it once called him, to something greater, something holier, something utterly transformative. One, the birth of a saint. A child of fortune and destiny. In the heart of Umbria, nestled among rolling green hills and ancient stone walls, lay the city of Assisi, a place of quiet beauty and medieval splendor. It was here, in either the year 1181 or 1182, that a child was born who would one day change the world, not through conquest or wealth, but through a love so radical that it would echo through the ages. His birth went unnoticed by the rulers of the time, unmarked by celestial signs or the pronouncements of prophets. Yet heaven itself seemed to have taken a deep breath in anticipation of the soul that had just entered the world. The child's father, Pietro di Bernardone, was a wealthy cloth merchant, a man of ambition and enterprise, whose fortunes were built upon the bustling trade routes that connected Assisi to the wider world. His business dealings took him to France frequently, and he had aspirations that his newborn son would follow in his footsteps, inheriting both his wealth and his keen sense for commerce. His mother, Pica, was of noble descent, a woman of refined grace and deep devotion. She came from a lineage that carried with it the echoes of aristocratic honor. Yet it was not titles or riches that would define the destiny of her son, but something infinitely more profound. A name that foretold his fate. When Pica brought her son into the world, she named him Giovanni, after John the Baptist, a choice that spoke to her deep faith and her hope that he would grow into a man of spiritual significance. Yet, when Pietro returned from one of his business trips to France, he rejected this name, opting instead to call him Francesco, or Francis, a tribute to the country that had brought him so much prosperity. The name at the time was uncommon in Italy, yet it would soon become one of the most revered names in the Christian world. This renaming was more than an act of paternal authority. It was an unintentional prophecy. France, the land of troubadours, poets and knights, was a place of romance, chivalry and grand ideals. It was a land of aspiration, a place that inspired men to greatness, not just in war, but in thought, in artistry and in vision. Though his father saw in the name the promise of a successful merchant, destiny saw in it something far greater, a soul that would take the romance of the world and transmute it into a love so divine that even the poorest and most forgotten would feel its warmth. The privileged son of a merchant. Francis grew up in the lap of luxury, his childhood marked by fine clothes, abundant feasts, and the privileges that came with being the son of a wealthy merchant. Unlike the children of nobility, whose lives were dictated by rigid codes of knightly discipline and political strategy, Francis had the freedom to indulge in the pleasures of youth. He was educated, but not in the monastic tradition that shaped many great minds of his era. Instead, he was trained in the art of trade, in the language of profit and negotiation, in the skills that would allow him to one day inherit his father's thriving business. Yet, Francis was no cold-hearted businessman in the making. Even as a boy, there was a lightness to him, an energy that set him apart. He was known for his charm, his exuberance, his almost magnetic ability to draw people to him. There was something infectious about his joy, something irresistible in his laughter. He loved music and poetry, particularly the songs of the troubadours, those wandering poets who sang of love and adventure. Theirs was a world of gallantry and passion, and Francis, with his romantic spirit, drank deeply from it. To those who knew him in his youth, he seemed destined for a life of revelry and prominence, perhaps as a knight or a respected member of Assisi's upper class. His father encouraged this, nurturing his son's taste for finery, his appreciation for the wealth that would one day be his. Pietro, after all, had worked tirelessly to elevate his family from common merchants to figures of influence, and he expected his son to build upon that foundation. Yet, even as Francis embraced the luxuries of his upbringing, there was something stirring beneath the surface, something his father could not yet see. A mother's quiet devotion. While Pietro shaped Francis's material world, it was his mother, Pica, who subtly nurtured his soul. She was a woman of deep faith, one who understood that wealth was fleeting, that the world's treasures were but dust in the grand scheme of eternity. Though she did not resist her husband's ambitions for their son, she carried within her a quiet wisdom, a knowing that life was more than the accumulation of riches. From Pica, Francis inherited something far more precious than gold or silk, a heart inclined toward the divine. It was she who taught him of God's love, of the saints who had lived not for earthly glory, but for a higher calling. It was she who, when he was sick as a child, whispered prayers over him, placing his small hands in hers as she invoked the Virgin Mary's protection. Though Francis, in his youth, seemed more enamored with feasts and festivities than with prayer, the seeds his mother planted in him would not remain dormant forever. The unseen hand of Providence. Looking at Francis as a child, no one could have predicted the path he would take. He was not raised in a monastery, nor was he groomed for the priesthood. He was not known for any profound spiritual inclinations, nor did he display the kind of religious fervor that marked future saints in their early years. Yet beneath the surface of his privileged life, beneath the laughter and the luxury, something awaited its moment to awaken. He did not yet know it, but the world he so loved, the world of wealth, parties, and noble aspirations, was destined to crumble before him. There would come a moment when he would be stripped of everything he had ever known, when the dreams of his youth would fall like autumn leaves, leaving only the bare branches of his soul exposed to the sky. And in that moment, he would finally hear the voice that had been calling him since the day of his birth. For now, he was still Francesco, the beloved son of a wealthy merchant, the charming young man who captivated his friends with stories and song. But history would not remember him as the heir to Pietro di Bernardone's fortune. It would remember him as Francis of Assisi, the man who would forsake everything for the love of Christ, the man who would embrace poverty as a bride, the man who would become a living gospel.